In preparing for this morning, I do flow charts. So I'd spent a few weeks sort of doodling on a piece of paper. Folds up very nicely, and it fits this inside my laptop, like as it's shut. So I can sort of find some pictures for slides and all that. So I've been keeping this in my laptop case, and yesterday. In between a morning of our house group and a very important football match, which we will never talk about again, I had the afternoon to sort of just put it all together and make some sense. The house is empty, get down, get my laptop out, and my notes are sat on my desk at work. So when I emptied my laptop case last. So what I do this morning, it's pretty fresh from yesterday afternoon, and so if it's a bit disjointed, apologies. We'll start straight. Oh, I've got the zapper. Ian's got the zapper.
On the chair.
He hasn't taken it to Nepal with him, has he? So we'll start straight away reading this verse. This is Matthew 7. You don't need to find it because it's on the screen. But enter through the narrow gate, for the wide gate and the broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So that is the verse. Now, you are really privileged to be here this morning, because I am an expert on the narrow way. I know my stuff. The reason for this is I love maps. To the absolute despair of my family, I adore maps. I will spend hours on the internet finding a map, finding a previous edition, finding future editions even. I spent hours doing this. So I know, for example, that the A30 used to run right past the front of this building to Andover before it went down to Land's End. I know the layout of the new Junction 9 on the M3. I spent hours looking at this stuff. It's tragic, I know. But this is what I like to do. This is my time-wasting thing, and I love it. I love seeing how they evolve and how it all transforms over time. I also like to follow maps too. So I know some of you will know where this is. It might take a few seconds, but somebody can tell me where it is. It is Snowdonia. It is Cribgoc. It actually means Red Ridge in Welsh, I believe. But I love this mountain. I spent hours and hours of my life on this mountain. You'll know it very well as well. So if you got Snowdon, there are many ways. It's a bit like Faith, really. There are many ways you can go. The easiest and most trodden is the Lamberis Path, which is not to be underestimated. It's 9 miles long. It starts from one of the lowest start points. There's a fair amount of altitude gain as well. But it is incredibly dull if you like walking in the mountains. The most popular is actually the Miner's Track. It's the shortest, probably one of the steepest, I've done it many times. I've done it in three of its incarnations because it's been rerouted over time for various reasons. But my favourite way up and down Snowdon is Cribgoc, which is a mountain in its own right. You can see there the summit of Cribgoc, but it is actually a ridge on the way up to Snowdon. And it is technically a graded climb. There's no protection on there. You are fully exposed with steep cliffs on either side. I've done it in the summer. I've done it in the winter. I've done it in the night. I have slept just off the side of it once. I nearly lost Dave Hollow on it when I went up, and it was a bit icy. But I love this mountain. It is the narrow way up Snowdon. There is no doubt about it. And I love finding narrow ways. If I go in the car, again, to the absolute dismay of my family, if we're driving on a motorway, but there's an old A road alongside, I might just choose to pull off that road and give them a narrative along the way. But you know, I do like just pootling on the country lanes rather than being sat on a motorway. If I'm out on my bike, I will try as hard as I can to get off the road and find a trail or a track, and will often come back with scratches and graze and nettle rash and so on. And again, in the mountains or any walk, I'll much prefer to find a little track or trail, and that's just how I tick. I love the adventure of exploring new places. So I am an expert. I have all the credentials. Unfortunately, when it comes to the passage in the Bible, that's where they end. We're all in this together from now on. My expertise stops there. So finding the narrow way. Don't go. That's the narrow way. If you were here in the evening in February, we had Rosanna List from Argentina, or formerly from Argentina. She came and spoke a bit about her story, and you sat there listening, and it was like, well, I have no credentiality compared to this lady. It's a lady who, in a time of civil unrest, really felt called by God to go and just be in the centre of it in Buenos Aires, and ended up being mistaken for a nun and being called up to pray for the crowds, and became a spokesperson in that situation. There was someone who walked the narrow way. And unlike the rest of this series so far, this isn't a discipline that we can sort of practice. It's actually a choice. It was part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount towards the end, and he's actually giving us this choice, and he's referring to himself. He is the narrow way. Will you follow me? That's what he's saying. So if you've already chosen to follow Jesus, job done, crack on, you can now leave, because that's it. That's what it, in its bare root, that's what it's saying. Obviously, there is more to it than that, and I'm not finishing just there, Gary. But I want to read to you a parable. So if you follow me, can I see that? No, I'm going to read it here. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell amongst the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever hears, let him hear. And then jumping on a bit. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed that was sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no roots, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling amongst the thorns refers to someone who hears a word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one that produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And that's from Matthew 13. I think we're all familiar with this parable, but this is basically why the narrow way is hard to find and difficult to follow, because actually there are so many things that will pull us back. It's important as well why so much of what was already been talked about over the last few weeks these disciplines that we've been talking about need to be there to help our roots to grow, because we can so easily be pulled away from the path that we're called to. So this is highlighting why the narrow way is hard to find. Now, we're part of a small group, and a lot of what we have been talking about in our small group of late has been picking up from the various Sundays and challenging each other on things. And like the week when after Andy spoke about fasting, as a group, we kind of said, OK, let's do this. And then we sort of fed back and talked about it. And it was amazing the sort of things that came out from just doing that. And so it is good to hold each other to account and say, OK, these are things that we need to be doing to improve our roots. Because at the end of the day, like the maps I've been looking at, it's human nature to want to go the easy way. It's so, you know, you build a nice fast road to go past a town or around some difficult landscape rather than follow the old route across the mountains. It's human nature. And it's human nature to give up on things. So things that you know you need to be practicing and doing, it's easy to give up. I think one of the biggest challenges is the fasting that Andy was talking about. We're so used to having full tummies that to suggest you go out without food is just alien to us. But there are other things as well that, you know, your prayer life or your study life or meditation or whatever else it might be, it's so easy to do it for a while and then give it up and let it go. And these are important things for us to do. The narrow way is not only hard, it is expensive. What's my page? There's this verse in Luke. Have I got it up? There we go, in Luke. Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." So not only is it hard to find and hard to follow, but it will cost you your life. So I'm really selling this, yeah? Yeah? We all in? This is a tough path to follow. And you can make the decision, you say, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus on a Monday, but by Friday, you're choosing your own way again, because it's a daily thing. It's not I'm going to choose to follow Jesus. Every day, it's a choice that we have to make, and it's a choice that we keep off having to make. So when Jesus said the narrow way is hard to find and difficult to follow, he wasn't lying. He was telling us what it was going to be. I think a lot of it boils down to something like this. You must know what this is, David. But it's the throne of Scotland, is it? It's the throne that King Charles was coronated on. It comes out once every so often when someone passes away and makes way for their son, daughter, or disgruntled relative who's muscled their way in. This is the throne. And my challenge would be, who's on your throne? So if you've got a little throne tucked in here, sorry, John, for slapping the microphone. If you've got a little throne tucked in here, who have you got sat on it? Because we fit very comfortably on that throne. You kind of get nicely nestled in and make all the decisions. But the reality is, that's what following the narrow way is about. It's choosing to put Jesus on that throne in your heart and to keep him there. And it's every decision we make is a decision whether or not to follow Jesus. So what we do, what we do at home, what we do at work, what we eat or what we drink, what we buy, what we watch, read, listen to, who we vote for, where we go, all these things, they're all decisions to follow Jesus, probably not what flavour muffin you buy or what socks you wear. Apart from Simon, you need to wear the same colour socks on both feet. But every decision is a decision to follow Jesus or not to follow Jesus, because we're either deciding to put him on the throne or keep him off the throne. And again, a bit like Ian and Rachel have been sharing, and like David's word earlier, the first decision can be easy. It might be scary, but at some point it's going to get tough. And you'll feel that adversity or challenge or threat. And then it becomes much harder to say, I'm going to keep following Jesus. But part of that is the adventure of it. It's the excitement of it. So it's scary, but it's going to be an adventure. And being in a castle surrounded by Frenchmen and actually fighting your way out, terrifying. But what an adventure, particularly when you come out victorious. A while back last year, we let Ian speak, and he brought a rope with him. And he painted the very tip of the rope red. The rest of the rope was white. And he used it as an illustration of our life and eternity. And it's very easy to think, well, this is just too much. The cost is too high. The path is too hard to find, too hard to follow. But it's just that much of a massive, long, infinite rope of eternity. And when we look at it in these terms, there's no question you wouldn't follow it, surely. In our house, on this particular Sunday every year, when we're getting up and getting dressed and having breakfast, the telly is on and the tunes come out. I won't sing the rest because I'm sure I've offended you already. But they're all the marathon, and you've got the various people they call up. You know, I'm running for this charity. I'm running dressed as a fridge. And then you'll get, the guys in the wheelchairs who are super fast. And then you get the elite women who are super fast. And, they finish the race before someone like me has even got their shoes on and all the rest. And then you'll see a few celebrities that they want to interview. And eventually, sort of dribbling and sweating, they stumble across the line. But they've had to choose some way back to go a narrow way. At some point, they've had to choose to stop eating pies, a choice that I will never make, I don't think. But they've had to choose to get up and get out in the cold, in the rain, when it's too hot, and train. They've had to choose lots of things. Maybe it's a lifestyle, maybe it's just for that one day. But they've had to make that choice. It's short-term pain for long-term gain in that one. When you get married, you forsake all others. If I had married Sarah and said, I might see some other girls along the way, I can't imagine it would have gone down too well. And if she said the same to me, I choose a narrow way for my marriage. Now, that's an easy choice. But that is what God is asking us to do, is to choose the narrow way. So with this information, what do we do with this thing? Now, the first thing is to choose Jesus. You might never actually have chosen Jesus. So I assume you all have, or most of you have, but you might never have chosen Jesus. If you have never chosen Jesus, maybe today is the time to choose him, to choose to follow that adventure, the excitement and the hardship and trials that come with it, because this life is so short and the life to come is forever. The second thing is to actually keep choosing Jesus when it gets tough, when you've got the blisters on your feet, when it's cold and you've got to get out there, when you can't make things come together like they should, when you have to relocate, when your job comes to an end, when someone's sick or ill in your house, when you're in a situation where there's no hope, to keep choosing Jesus every day, every decision. That's the second thing. The third thing I want to say is from this passage. So this is the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Isn't that incredible? Yeah. These guys had seen him die. They'd seen him raised from the dead. They'd touched him, and still some of them doubted. It's a hard, hard way to go. And then he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." So if you don't know, this is what we call the Great Commission. These are the last words Jesus spoke before, as I picture it, he got on some kind of magical elevator and went up to heaven. But these were his last spoken words to his disciples. So he would have thought about it. He wouldn't have just sort of said it off the cuff like I might. And it's quite a big challenge here to go into all the world and make disciples. But that's what he's asking us to do. You see, this the way is hard to find. We might have all found it, but there's a lot of people out there who haven't. And it's hard to find. So if God wants everyone to be disciples, we need to help all these other people who haven't found this little narrow gate to find it. It's like, it's over here. It's not you can't just expect them to walk in because it's hard to find. And again, in our culture in here, people do like to pop into churches for weddings, funerals, picnics, free lunch, whatever. But that's not the case world over. So it's a big challenge there. But with all of this that I've said this morning, there's two big slices of bread on top of this challenge. And that is that all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. So that's not some authority. That's not Keir Starmer's authority or your local copper's authority or your parents' authority. That is all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And then the other big slice of bread at the other side is he's going to be with us always to the very end of the age. Amen. So if you've got all the authority and he's with you, all of a sudden that narrow, windy path that's difficult to follow and tough and might involve fighting out of a castle or fighting the streets of Lincoln or might involve sending your kids to school in a little mountain town somewhere, it suddenly seems a whole lot rosier. Yeah. And that is what I want to leave us with, is these three challenges. So my little summary slide. So choose to follow Jesus. If you've never chosen to follow Jesus, see me at the end, see Gary, see somebody else. We'll pray you through it, we'll talk you through it, but choose to follow Jesus. Choose to keep following Jesus. That's something that we do together as well as on your own. So in small groups, in your connect groups, in your marriages, in your families, wherever you connect, wherever you're accountable, choose to keep following Jesus and help each other to keep following Jesus. I've just said that, haven't I? But others outside of our community, people who don't know Jesus, we need to help them to find Jesus and to choose Jesus as well. And he's going to be with you always to the very end of the age. I'm going to pray. I don't know if you want to do anything else, but okay. Lord, I want to thank you that you walked a narrow way. You walked the hardest way. you chose that narrow, winding path to Calvary and died for us there, Lord. Lord, we can't ever grumble about any path we have to walk when you walked that path. Lord, we want to thank you that you explained it to us. You told us how hard it would be. And even worked with those men and women who found it hard to do. Even when you were there with them, they found it hard. Lord, we want to thank you that that was written down and recorded for us today. That we walk into this with our eyes open, knowing. But Lord, we want to thank you where that path leads. We want to thank you for that eternity with you, that hope that is there in hopeless situations that you are calling us into, calling us beyond, Lord, that you will lead us there. Lord, if we don't know you, help us to know you. When we have to choose you and it's not the easy choice, help us to make that hard choice. And Lord, help us just to be aware of those around us, just to check ourselves and ask ourselves, are we showing the way to Jesus in this room, in this situation? Thank you, Lord. Amen.